Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul gives thanks to God for the strong evidences of Holy Spirit wrought conversion in the lives of the Thessalonian believers. In his opening verses of chapter 2, Paul describes his own ministry, probably at least in part to defend it against his critics. And he appeals to the personal knowledge of the Thessalonians in this regard when he says in verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." His description of his ministry as being an effective one is not something that he's simply telling them and asking them to take his word for, but it is something that he is reminding them of, that they have been a part of that, and they know it by personal experience. And he tells them that his ministry with them was not in vain. It was filled with effective spiritual fruit by the gracious power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. His ministry was not empty. It was not void of substance and power. It was a fruitful ministry with tangible evidence of Paul's effectiveness in the work of the gospel. And the evidences of the fruitfulness of his ministry are many, including true and lasting conversions. The ones who professed faith in Christ when Paul was there are now continuing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to them sometime later. A growing interest in God's Word. They haven't lost that interest. In fact, if anything, it is increasing. A growth in grace and knowledge as they are developing according to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And their growing dissatisfaction with anything that is artificial. And Paul thanks the Lord for these evidences of his effective ministry in their midst. I pause to welcome you to this Monday, March 25 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your financial help in keeping us on this station. Well, if his ministry was effective, according to verse 1, it was also courageous, according to verse 2. Verse 1 again, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." But, verse 2, "Even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." He was courageous. He makes reference to the mistreatment which he and the other members of his missionary team received in the city of Philippi, about 100 miles north of Thessalonica. And we know that account because it is recorded in the book of Acts, and we are well familiar with this account of Paul and Silas thrown into prison, beaten, put in stocks, and then God rescuing them from that situation. And prior to being put in prison, they were publicly flogged. So there was a lot of mistreatment going on there. And they spent a good part of the night in jail, and all of that without a trial, which was illegal for Roman citizens, and Paul brings that up later and uses that to his advantage. And it was all orchestrated, or we might say fomented, by angry merchants, businessmen who had lost one part of their profitable business when Paul cast a demon out of a demon-possessed fortune-telling slave girl that they used to make a lot of money. And now that the demon had been cast out of her, she's no longer able to tell fortunes, and they were furious. And so they persuaded the town officials to cast Paul and Silas into prison after beating them publicly. And so we know that Paul and Silas were abused and publicly humiliated, and the Thessalonians also knew about that. They not only knew about the effectiveness of Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, as he refers to it in verse 1, but they also knew about the mistreatment of Paul in verse 2. I'll read those two verses together again. Verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." They knew that by personal experience and observation. But verse 2, "For even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know," Paul makes reference again to their personal knowledge of this, "we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." And so they had opposition in Philippi, and yet that didn't stop them from doing the same thing, things, I guess I should say, that had caused this mistreatment and opposition in Philippi. They were quickly run out of Thessalonica, just like they had been out of Philippi. And again, the Thessalonians knew that as well. And so, similar to the treatment they had at Philippi, they suffered more ill treatment in Thessalonica. Read about it in Acts chapter 17, where we read about Jews, evil men, and the mob that came after them. And yet, in spite of that, and here's the point, they continued preaching until they were forced to escape. They showed great courage. So what is Paul doing in describing his ministry among them? Number one, he reminds them that it was an effective ministry. By the work of the Holy Spirit, it produced good measures of spiritual fruit. Number two, it was a courageous ministry. In spite of strong opposition, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke continued ministering the gospel that had called down persecution upon them. But they did not diminish their proclamation at all. "We were bold," he says. "We dared to continue preaching the gospel." And so in spite of opposition, in spite of persecution, in spite of the threat of injury, they continued preaching the very thing that had caused their pain and suffering in Philippi and was about to produce the same thing in Thessalonica. And of course, what Paul is saying is, you are aware that many preachers would have ceased altogether before they reached that point. This is too dangerous. This is too painful. We can't expose ourselves to the possibility of being injured or even put to death. And so some would have stopped. Some would have softened their approach and their message. Some would have tried to find a way to make it more acceptable to both Jews and Gentiles, but not the Apostle Paul. He continued, unabated, preaching the same message he'd preached before, undiminished, unaltered, exactly as it had been delivered to him. He recognized that he was an ambassador, not a public relations man. It was not his responsibility to make the gospel acceptable. It was his responsibility to make it available, and that's exactly what he was doing. And he courageously continued preaching the message of the gospel that was so offensive to many people, and thereby his courage cannot be questioned. And that is evidence of a faithful minister, someone called by God, not a hireling. There are hirelings. The scripture makes reference to it. There are people who enter the ministry not because they are there to serve Christ, but because they're there to serve themselves. And they see in that an opportunity to get gain for themselves, either financially or in other ways, generally in both finances and in honor and prestige and effectiveness in the community. Influence is the word I'm grasping for. Influence in the community. And there were people in Paul's day that proclaimed themselves as gospel preachers for those very reasons. And we certainly see the same thing going on today. But Paul made it very clear, that's not me. I'm not like that. I'm describing my ministry to you and calling upon you to recognize that my ministry is effective because of the blessing of God's Holy Spirit upon it. And it is courageous in spite of my courageous proclamation of the gospel costing me pain and suffering. I'm doing it at sacrifice, not in order to gain something, but to give something. To give something to people who need the gospel. I love them. I want to give something to them, even if it's very costly to me. But even more important than that, to give something of great cost to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me at incredible cost, at far greater cost than anything that I could do for him. And so, for that reason, I courageously preach the message that has caused me pain and suffering and tribulation and opposition and loss. But that's the kind of ministry that the Apostle Paul carried on. His ministry was effective. His ministry was courageous. His ministry was approved. It is a word that would describe what he says in verses 3 and 4, when he says, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts." Paul is describing his ministry, and as he moves into verses 3 and 4, he describes it as being approved by God. It was certified by testing. And what are the tests? Well, he mentions three factors that would have disqualified him from passing a biblical test for faithful ministry. What are they? Proclamation of error, utilization of what is called here uncleanness, and deceit. Those three factors that are found in some ministries are disqualifying factors. Those factors render the one who is utilizing them as being disapproved by God. First of all, error. For our exhortation did not come from error. It did not come from falsehood. It did not come from proclamations that are contrary to truth. The exact opposite. Everything I said to you was the truth of God. It is the Word of God given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I declared that faithfully unto you, not with error, but with ultimate exactness to the truth of God. And at that point, we're going to have to close the broadcast for today. And Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.